connects anymore. We're going to take advantage of the study in Acts, that a lot of the activity was about Peter, and so we're going to switch to what he wrote and study some of the things that he wrote to the Christians at that time. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We especially thank you for your word, and we're so appreciative of your plan and the fact that you preserved your word, that we might have it as a guide, we might have it as a hope. We pray that you'd be with us as we look at the things that Peter said, which we know are from your mouth. We pray that we would be encouraged, that we would be instructed, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at 1 and 2 Peter in the next several weeks. And we're going to be looking at the various topics that he talks about. Things like, he uses the word elect a lot. Chosen, called, pilgrims, as he's referring to those that he's writing to. We're going to talk about a living hope and a joy inexpressible. We're going to talk about the conduct of God's people. We're going to talk about suffering for the name of Christ. And we're going to talk about false teachers. It's a shame we have to consider that. Peter had to consider it. We still do. And we're going to talk about spiritual growth, among other things. My plan, although it's subject to change, is to look at these subjects in detail. And understanding that Peter, an apostle of our Lord, was inspired by God the Father when he wrote. Because we're not going verse by verse, I undoubtedly will overlook some things that you feel to be important or relevant to the topic of the day that we're discussing in any particular Sunday. Please speak up. I guess I just opened that can of worms, didn't I? Please speak up. Very generally speaking, 1 Peter deals with issues that are a result of influence outside the church. And 2 Peter deals with issues that are that come from within the church. And so we want to look seriously at what Peter talked to those early Christians about. What I want to do this morning is look at Peter himself. I know we did that in one of our summer series lessons this past summer, but I want to reemphasize some of the things about Peter that I think are impressive and that will cause us to look more closely at what he says when we get to the various topics that he discusses. His name was Simon, and he was first introduced to us in Matthew 4, early in the Gospels, in Mark and John. And in John 1, in verse 42, Jesus said, when he met him, "You are the son of Jonah. You shall be called Peter," or Cephas. Peter's the Greek word. Cephas is the Aramaic word. Simon was a name that was common among both Jews and Greeks. And the two names are used interchangeably. Paul uses the name Cephas most of the time. Except in Galatians 2, he uses Peter as his name. Sometimes he's called Simon Peter. Or in Matthew 10:2, he's called Simon, who is called Peter. So there's no doubt that we're talking about the same man. It's interesting to me that no one else in the Bible is named Peter. The reason that's interesting, and here I'm going to open another can of worms probably, is as it relates to what Jesus meant when he said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I'm not sure where I'm going with that. Just something to think about. No one else in the Bible is named Peter that I'm aware of. So that to me emphasizes the importance that Jesus gave to Peter when he gave him that name. Just something to think about. We may throw that in as we discuss things later on. And so let's talk about Peter. I'm getting ahead of myself. We know that Peter was married. It says in Matthew 8:14, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever." There's a lot of things about Peter that we can relate to. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Here is where Peter's first introduced to us. And in verse 18, he says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" He went on to say a similar thing to James and John, who were all fishermen and possibly partners in that business. That industry was known to have some rough characters in it. And I think it still does today. So it's interesting that Jesus chose fishermen, and I think significant also. But I want to notice what he said to them. He said, "Follow me." We'll bring that up again towards the end of our lesson this morning. Peter was an interesting guy. He was impulsive. He was very self-confident. He was eager, but yet he was unstable in some ways. He was fickle. He was weak in some ways. We know from Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when he was before the Sanhedrin, they perceived that Peter and the others were uneducated and untrained. And based upon what they had been saying and doing, that was amazing to them. We can relate to Peter in that he was a normal guy. He had a job. He worked for a living. He fished for a living. I like to fish, but I don't know that I'd want to do it for a living. There's so many variables there that would that would have a bearing on your income. So he worked hard. He made hasty and uninformed decisions. Have you ever done that? Turn to John, the 18th chapter. This is something we're all familiar with, but in verse 10, he says, "And they were in the garden. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" We've all done things without thinking. We've all done things because it seemed the right thing to do at the moment, not fully understanding the moment or the circumstance. And Peter did that also. There was times when he displayed a weak faith. We all know about his denial of Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul really came down hard on Peter for his hypocrisy concerning Jews and Gentiles. Peter was the one that, when racing to the tomb after hearing that Jesus was not in the tomb anymore, he actually wasn't the first one there, but he was the first one to charge right into the tomb. He displayed a great faith at times also. We know all about Acts 2. In Acts 5, turn to Acts 5. Starting in verse 28, they were in jail and had been instructed not to speak in the name of Jesus. He says in verse 28, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Peter was a man that was willing to go above and beyond for Jesus and those that were close to him, those that were important to him, those issues that were important to him. He left his livelihood. When Jesus said, "Follow me," they immediately followed him. He left his livelihood to follow Jesus. As we already noticed, he cut off the servant's ear. And he was committed to teaching the gospel. Peter grew over the years. As we mentioned, some of his qualities, some of which are not necessarily good, some of which just needed to be refined, but he grew to be a stable and a humble and a courageous servant of Jesus. He had great conviction and integrity. Can you think of any other ways that in which you can relate to Peter? Barry. There's a lot about that that we don't really know. That we're not given all the conversations and everything that they saw and heard prior to this. But they had seen and heard enough. And yeah, they what a big step that was for Peter and Andrew and James and John to make. Anything else that you can think? Good. Thank you, Barry. He was a disciple of the Master. Yes. So are you saying that's kind of like you?
Well, yeah. I mean,
lack of knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, you tend to, you have good intentions, but sometimes you don't have all the knowledge in your actions.
Isn't it comforting that Jesus chose this man that has all the faults that we have? But yet, he spoke up on the day of Pentecost. He was put in prison for teaching about Jesus. He shared what he had in Christ. In Acts, the third chapter, and verse 6, he healed a lame man. And let's just turn to that and see what he says. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What he did have, he was willing to share. And I think we can learn something from that. And we can relate to that to a point. And we're going to get to the other side of this in a minute. Joe?
I just want to go back to the kind of point you made before you went to Acts 3:6 there. And what I find interesting is that he's someone that we can relate to as a person. And I think that shows, you know, God's wisdom in choosing people that we can relate to. You know, while we may not physically done the same exact things he has, we can relate to the feelings and emotions behind it. And so it's something that we can take and understand a little bit further, you know, because we may have those same feelings and emotions in different situations. You know, so it hits our heart a little bit harder than if we couldn't relate to it.
Good, very good point.
What I was going to say is he reminds me of like a new Christian when they're really excited about what they've just learned, and they're really doing their best to try and walk with God, but then he also falters. And I think that's...
Yeah, sometimes when we're new and we don't have maturity in Christ, but we're eager to do something, and we just sometimes...
Jump out of that boat.
We make mistakes, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. The quality of eagerness is a good one. Okay. Now, is there some ways in which we can't relate to Peter on a personal basis? These are all good. I mean, it's comforting to us to know that he was a man that had faults like we have, yet he grew, he became a servant. Some consider him to be the leader of the apostles. I don't know that I agree with that. He was outspoken. But you remember the apostles were arguing over who among them was the greatest. And Jesus said, if you serve, you're the greatest. If they felt that Peter was the greatest among them, they wouldn't have been arguing about that.
Peter's been idolized in a... in a religion that we're familiar with. Peter's been elevated above the other apostles, and there are people who claim that they are descendants in the sense of they've got the same relationship with God as Peter did. And so they draw a lot of their authority for their religion because of Peter's alleged leadership role amongst the other apostles, which you have pointed out.
And we need to be really careful about that because that goes back to what I mentioned earlier, the importance of Jesus naming him Peter and what that has to do with what he meant when he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Thank you. I don't know if you heard all of that. There are religions today put Peter on a pedestal. He was a man like you and me with some very important differences in that he was inspired by God. And I want to talk about those things now. In which ways can we not relate to Peter? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 16. For we, Peter and the apostles, did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Can't relate to that one, can we? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Here's a man that spent time with Jesus, who was a close friend of Jesus, who had differences with Jesus and face-to-face conversations with him. And he referred to him as majesty. You think Peter knew who he was? Any other ways we can't relate on the same level as Peter that you can think of? He was able to perform miracles. He healed that lame man. He gave that lame man something that none of us could have given him. The words he spoke are inspired in John 16. they were told that the Holy Spirit would come to guide them into what they would say, and that it would be from Jesus and therefore from the Father, the things that they would say. And I've already mentioned, he spoke face to face with Jesus. Maybe the most glaring incident that we can think of is after Peter denied Jesus. What did Jesus, and the cock crowed three times as Jesus said it would. And what did Jesus do? Do you remember what Jesus did? He turned and looked at Peter. Fixed his gaze upon him. Wonder what that was like for Peter. He spent hours and hours with him, day after day after day after day. He saw his facial expressions. He was with him when he was tired. You remember the one time they were out in the boat and Jesus was asleep in the boat? The storm came up. He observed Jesus' teachings. Turn to Mark chapter 8. And verse 31. And just notice this little exchange here. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? Feeling confident enough to take Jesus aside and rebuke him over something that he had said. Verse 33, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Here again, Peter didn't fully understand the situation. But the conversation between the two of them and the rest of the apostles is the point that I want to make now. The relationship that they had together, the confidence they had to disagree and to try to correct one another. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Witness of the sufferings of Christ. Another area in where we cannot relate personally with Peter. In 1 John, the first chapter. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Peter and the apostles had a relationship with Jesus that we can only imagine. It's a difficult thing to separate physical things and spiritual things. I think Peter grew to learn the difference and to appreciate the difference and to realize who Jesus was. We all remember the conversation after Jesus had been raised from the dead and he made himself known to the apostles and others. In John 21, we know about the conversation that Jesus had with Peter when he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know that I love you." There was still a little bit of misunderstanding in that conversation, I think. But Peter, being face to face with Jesus during his time on earth, here again, after his death, was face to face with Jesus. One of the last things that Jesus said to Peter was, "You follow me." Wasn't that one of the first things he said to him? Turn to John, the 21st chapter. In verse 22, he had just had a conversation. Peter was asking him about one of the others, Peter says in verse 21, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." I think Peter, when Jesus said, "Follow me this time," did it mean more to him than when he said it the first time? Barry pointed out that it meant something to him the first time because he left everything to follow Jesus. Now after 3 years, Jesus said it again. What do you think it meant to Peter at this time? Probably held a lot more significance and understanding, maturity on Peter's part. In John 12, verse 26, it says, "If anyone serves me," this is Jesus speaking, "if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So what does it mean to follow him? Jesus said, "Where I am, there my servant will be also." You think he was talking physically? Mary Martha.
Well, you mentioned that how Peter had changed. And we read the scripture in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, I'm not quite sure which one, but where he saw the majesty of Jesus Christ. Well, here it is in Mark at the Transfiguration, where Peter is the one that says, "Well, let's build, you know, an altar for each Moses and Isaac and you." And he didn't have the full understanding of who Christ was. But then later on, he says, "I have seen the glory and the majesty."
Yeah, he was referring to the Transfiguration when he made that statement in 2 Peter. Yes, you're right. Thank you. And that brings up, and Anita made reference to it also, that Peter seemed to be one of Jesus' closest, along with James and John. Because the three of them were on the mountain at the Transfiguration. And the three of them were, Jesus took in with him when he raised Jairus' daughter. And the three of them he took into the garden prior to his crucifixion. Peter had quite a life. And some things we can relate to and some things we cannot. To Peter and the other apostles, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have the blessing of being able to read the words that Peter wrote that are from the mouth of God through the Holy Spirit. The inspired words of God. The words that accompanied these words were inspired and are reinforced by the experiences Peter had, by the faith that Peter had. Not to mention the power of God that accompanied him in the miracles and in the teaching. When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? In Matthew 16:16, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's something we'll talk about in a future lesson. Peter uses the word living when he refers to God. He uses the word living when he refers to our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Speaking of Jesus, he says, whom having not seen, in contrast to Peter's life, he said, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Due to Peter's efforts and the other apostles, we are able to know about God. We are able to know about Christ. We are able to love Him and follow in His steps. Grab a songbook. Song number 167. We'll just sing the first and last verse, and we'll end our class with this. Next week, we're going to talk about the elect. We're going to talk about those that Peter wrote to. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We walked not with a chosen few who saw thee when the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wondering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the sky. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. I know that a lot of this was not new to you. Most of it, if not all of it, was not new to you. Hopefully it was impressive to you, though. And it will help us to appreciate more what Peter has to say to us in the coming weeks. Thank you.